This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. This is Kendani Campbell-Moss, and I am here on Guardian 96.9 Fresh News, Smart Talk All Day. And my guest with me this morning is Senator Maxine Seymour. Maxine is a trained communications professional with more than 25 years' experience in the industry. She currently serves as the Director of Corporate Communications at the country's leading health and life insurer. But this morning, we're going to speak with Senator Maxine Seymour in regards to what exactly is a woman in politics. She's new, she's upcoming, she has been through one of her first general elections. She has a platform that speaks to something beyond politics. And this morning we're going to find out exactly who Maxine is. We had a very, very short time to be introduced to Maxine, but she is on the scene now, and this is the time for us to find out who the woman is behind the politics and who the woman is in politics. So, Ms. Maxine, Senator Maxine Seymour, good morning, and thank you for being on the show with me.
Well, good morning to you, and thanks for having me.
Maxine, your husband and I went to school together, my second school.
So I heard you need to tell me what he was like in school, but do that off air.
Rico, the same man Rico is today is who Rico was then. Rico was very reserved, very quiet, and always used to say, Kendra, what you doing again? He was always doing something I shouldn't have been. So, Maxine, I want you to tell me who Maxine is. I know that you have a literacy platform. I would have tuned into it once as well during the time of COVID, because, of course, there was very little interaction or things that were happening at that particular time. And I know reading is extremely fundamental, and without reading, we can't do anything. But tell me who Maxine is.
Well, Maxine is someone who pretty much lives for kids. And so I'm happy that you started with that because, yes, I am very focused on childhood literacy. I started a program last International Literacy Day, which would have been September 2021, with a Zoom reading session that I have story time with children. And it's twice monthly. The kids tune in. It's such an awesome experience because take yesterday, for example, I had a child who, you know, read me a story that he had written and who, like, you know, sometimes they color pictures, they show it to me. They now take over. I have to ask them for a chance to read because they all want a chance to read me a story or to read everyone on the platform a story. So it's really growing. It's really catching. And it's about to be expanded into some of the schools because, like you said, reading is so important and that's where you learn a lot. And so back to who is Maxine, I'm somebody who, growing up, I read a lot because my mom was a school teacher and so she marked books. I read books. I was an only child. My mom wasn't married. She was a single mother. So it was just the two of us. So I just read. I probably read too much because I read how to read a bike and how to swim, but I never actually learned to do those basic things like climb a tree and ride a bike and basic stuff. But reading is very important to me. And so that's one of the things that I promote primarily.
Now, Maxine, of course, you know that I have an 8-year-old daughter. And you talk about being a single mom. You talk about just being a mom in general. And of course, you know, it's Easter break. So she's here with me as we speak now. And I find that it's very important that, you know, she's sitting here doing her multiplication tables. And she said, Mommy, ask Senator if she wants some water. When you talk about reading and the literacy program, do you think that literacy is beyond just the comprehension of reading itself? Because your mom is an educator. I was a former educator at L.W. Young, but for a very short time, because that money just ain't right for me, okay? I can't do it. But your mom, as a former educator, what did she say to you about literacy, about reading, about just absorption in terms of learning?
The thing about it is I learned early in life that you could travel the world, you could do anything, you could see anything, you could meet anyone, you could learn new things through reading. And back then we didn't have the Googles and the, you know, Facebooks and all of that stuff. You really had traditional old-fashioned books where they cut down trees, made paper, and they printed the books. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Now they got all fancy now with, you know, special wraps. But the point of the matter is that, you know, reading is so essential. And once you learn to read, you could read anything. And so I think your question had to do with what did she say to me about reading and really being exposed to the world? And so reading isn't just about books. You could read magazines, you could read newspapers. And I'm sure because you're the mother of a young daughter, you know, once they learn to read, when they pass all the road signs and they better be looking over your shoulder if you send in a text, like all your business, nothing is a secret anymore. It's all exposed. And if we really look back in our history, whether we go back as far as slavery, whether we look in other eras in terms of, you know, history, you'll read that persons actually were able to free themselves from certain trappings in life and advance whole generations, whole races because of reading. And so knowledge is power, and without it, you would fail. And so that's even in terms of our country. It's important for us as citizens and residents to understand our laws, understand our constitution, understand how things work, understand government, understand what should be expected of our legislators and the people we elect, the people we appoint. And so reading is essential because then you're finding out for yourself. I think during the recent pandemic, which is a good example, there was a lot going around in terms of hesitancy, for example, with being immunized. And that's because people depended on others to make quick 20, 30 second videos and tell them, you know, what to expect and that kind of thing. But when you're able to read, you could go and research for yourself. You could weigh the pros and cons, find out all the information, and then make a conscious decision. And that's why reading is important, and we have to promote it within children so that as they grow with an enjoyment for reading, a sense of, you know, power when it comes to reading, writing, comprehension, and all the other aspects and spinoffs that come from literacy programs like the one that I run now.
Now, Maxine, is this going to be a longevity situation in terms of having this literacy program? Do you want to branch off and maybe do something else, like have a reading club, or what types of things do you see long term?
So there's so much on my mind, Candanique. Book drives, mobile libraries, intercommunities. You know, you pull up, you get to bring your book back, trade it, get a new book, until the mobile library drives through your area again, like a real, like, you know, highly decorated, fancy bus you get to walk on, pick a book off the shelves. There's so much research that I've done on this. And of course, you know, part of the challenge is really accessing funding. But I'll tell you that there's so much to be done when it comes to literacy, because I find that if we allow it, it'll be a dying art, because the world is advancing, Candanique. So now you have, you know, digital devices that can read for you. So you could select the text, they'll read it for you. You know, exactly.
Because I don't even have to, like, literally type my text, and I can say my text. I mean, some of the words may come out a little wrong, but literally that is what is happening.
Exactly.
But I find too, Senator, when you speak about the literacy and having this mobile drive and doing things of this nature, I realize that we're not reading anymore. Like, when children write or when they speak, you know, I guess it's broken English, and they write you instead of Y-O-U, they don't know your, or T-W-O-T-O, or T-O-O.
Right.
Like, there's no way for us to push them to understand that proper grammar is important. And I wonder if that is something that has to be stressed more in terms of your literacy program. Do you think that there are key points that you want to focus on, or is it just reading straight across the board?
So I'll tell you a little bit about my program. It's so dynamic. It's hard to really put into a box.
Right.
So we could talk about anything when we log on. So take, for example, last evening, so we read two stories. And then from there, I think in the story, the dog, you know, wanted to try the pizza, et cetera. So any word that comes up, I teach them big words and we talk and discuss it. So I ask them about moderation, and then I simplified what moderation means. First, I let them take a guess at what it means. Then I simplified what it means. We talked about examples. And so we go into, like you said, the spelling. Sometimes we even, like, we deal with certain issues. So a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, maybe, we read the story of Ukraine. And we learned that in Ukraine, they have beaches like us. They have dolphins. Tourists go there to swim in the Black Sea. They celebrate Christmas. They celebrate Easter. We learn what the kids do. And then we learned about their naughty neighbors from Russia and how, you know, Putin had been unkind to Zelensky and what was going on. And so the program isn't just about sitting and reading books to them. This month, for example, we've read books about autism and how if you make a friend with autism, how you react and how that friend might like to eat the same thing all the time. That friend might be, you know, startled if the noise gets loud. And so we read books that are very specific, very topical. Earth Day is on Friday. So last evening, the kids talked to me, we read, and they gave me back information about what they could do, how we could save energy, turn off the power switch, you know, turn off the computer, how we could plant a tree, how we could do so many other things to be good to our earth, which is our home, and we're all earthlings. But then we talked about going somewhere else. And there was a boy who said he'd like to visit Mars. And we talked a little bit about space. He said he didn't think the moon was fun. But we said that, you know, even if we visited other planets, we still have to come back to our home, which is the Earth. So we have to care for it. So it's definitely way more than just reading. We deal with so many things twice a month. It's an amazing time with the kids. I love it so much, and I look forward to it. It's a highlight on my schedule.
I'm excited for that, Maxine. I want you to tell me, too, in terms of when you decided to go into politics. I know that we're jumping, but when you decided to go into politics, did you think, I'm going to have other little girls looking to see that I'm an image, I'm someone that came from a single home, I'm a mom of four kids, I'm a regular working person that just wants to make a better society, a better community for us. What was your initial thought in getting involved in politics? And party aside, what are you thinking?
And so I'll tell you that this passion for politics and this wanting to serve started for me 30 years ago when I was still in High Point. I determined that politics was my ultimate career goal because I just wanted to serve my country on a national level. And so it was a plan that was in progress. And so it wasn't that I just, you know, jumped up and was like, okay, maybe I'll run. But it was something that I had always had in my heart because I want to make the country better. And so because I have four children and because there are little girls out there who need persons to look up to is one of the reasons why I serve. I want to make sure that this country is better for future generations, but I also want to know that little girls can see themselves. Because when they look, whether they're in Bimini or whether they're in Inagua or in between, when they look and they watch the parliament or they see people in the news, they need to see people who look like them.
Yes.
They need to see people who are female, who may, you know, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, and whatever the characteristics are that define, you know, different girls, diversity is important. And so in politics, we need everybody. And so I decided that I would serve to make a difference. And yes, you're right. I'm a very ordinary Bahamian. And wherever I've managed to be, any space I've been in, it's a space that I worked my way towards. And I had to create a space for myself. And so, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to work towards this. And from my experience and even from feedback, people say that, you know, politics is really not for the poor. And there's so many comments, and I'm not even making comments locally. I'm talking about internationally. People have written books and talk about what you need in order to serve. It's really difficult to serve in politics if you don't have the resources, if you don't have the means, right? But I believe that I wanted to be able to show to everybody in our country that if you are passionate enough, if you are committed enough, if you want to serve your people, if you want to make a difference in your nation, that you're able to, regardless of your upbringing, regardless of how you started out, regardless of your background, regardless of whatever lack there may be, you can still, and you will still, as long as you believe in yourself, you work hard at it, you focus, and you put God first, of course.
Of course. Senators, we're going to take a break, and we're going to be back. This is Kendani Campbell-Moss. I'm sitting here with Senator Maxine Seymour. This is Guardian Radio 96.9. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away five priceless trips to Miami for two people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win. Whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others, it's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. And Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
We used to get paid in little brown envelopes. Now they're debit cards, credit cards, digital money. If you're feeling overwhelmed and want to know more, the Central Bank and financial experts will be on radio talk shows from April 25th through 29th to explain topics like, can I really do without cash? Is my digital money safe? What's happening with the credit bureau?
How can I access and use sand dollars?
So listen into your favorite radio station all week for these and other topics, or visit www.getmoneysmartbahamas.com to learn more.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. So unkind, you're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman. soul was in the lost and found. You came along to claim it. I didn't know just what was wrong with me till your kiss helped me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. And if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. 'Cause you make me feel, you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural woman.
Good morning, and we're back with Senator Maxine Seymour. You're here on Guardian 96.9 Fresh News, Smart Talk All Day. Now, Maxine, before we went to the break, you spoke about you had to create the space that you are in. What do you mean when you say create the space that you're in? Now, oftentimes we see these influencers that are either local or international. They say, oh, I was making 7 cents an hour, and now I'm up to $80, and this is how I created my space. But in an island that is 7 by 21, and we don't see our global power, we don't see our edification to expand. How did you create your space? And this is, and like you said, you came from a single mom home, and your quest to be in this particular position has happened over 30 years ago. How did you create your space as a female?
Well, it calls for intentionality.
Okay.
And balance as well. You have to have clear goals. You have to set them. And then you have to do what it takes to achieve them. And I'll tell you, Kenanique, the world can be a very distracting place. And so you have to be intent in terms of your level of focus. Because when things or people try to take you or derail you or, you know, try to get you to go another way, fare off the path, you have to be determined to stay on it and have stickability no matter what. So we start out talking about literacy as an example. So the facts of the matter is that college would not have been an option for me if my mom had to pay for it.
So how did you do it?
And so I had to think, you have to create the space. And so I had to push, I had to make sure, I had to write for scholarships. So I started out at COB to get my associates. And I got a scholarship actually from the Inter-American Bank, if I'm not mistaken, or the IDB, but it was one of them. It was years ago. I got that scholarship. I think I got a little one from City Market as well, if I recall. And that allowed me to complete my associates. And then once I was done, I couldn't just go off. I had to work. You know, I had to work and start a bachelor's program part-time while I work, and then was able to be able to go off to campus for a year to Minnesota and you know, through the College of St. Benedict to complete my degree. But again, I was able to get scholarships from the school, something local. But then I did it the traditional way in the Bahamas for people who don't have college funds. And it's not that you don't have college funds all the time because you don't prepare or you don't save or you don't manage your finances properly. It's that if you're a single mom teaching in a public school, paying school fees, rent, et cetera, sometimes you just can't afford to set a college fund aside.
You cannot.
And you just can't. And so I had to have the stakeout and you know, the fish fry and the sell. Listen, I used to sell cakes and drinks outside of my church, the Parish Church of the Most Holy Trinity, every Sunday.
Don't come in here with this Most Holy Trinity, Maxine, because Maxine, take it easy. Take it easy, Maxine, okay? The Most Holy Trinity. I attend St. Francis Xavier's Cathedral. I knew you was coming with that, Maxine.
So listen, Father Boleg, you know, bless his soul who passed recently, he allowed me to sell pastries and drinks in order to make funds to go to college. And I'll tell you, he helped to make some calls. He was one of the persons who helped to make some calls. And we're trying to get this girl off to school. Could you help? And you know what people said? They're like, you mean the girl who's be selling stuff outside church? Uh-huh. And they say, no problem, I'll write a check. And you know why some people were willing to help me? Because they saw that I was trying to help myself.
Yes.
And so I managed to get the funds I needed. And when I got to St. Ben's, I worked on campus, had a little campus job, you know, managed school, did the job, all sorts of stuff, okay? And so I got to get my bachelor's. Then I worked again. And in 2004, maybe, I was sitting in my office at AML Foods. It was Abaco Markets back then. I was making a really good salary and I had a really great job. But I was like, I want to do some graduate studies. Mm-hmm. And I saw a program advertised. I thought it was available locally, but I didn't realize it was on UE's Mona campus in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. So I had a family and all that other stuff. And the lady on the phone was like, no, you could still do it. Think about it, et cetera. I was like, really? So I left my job. Saved a certain amount, left my job, and I went to do my graduate studies. And everyone was like, you leaving this job is a good job, good benefits. But I was like, I want more. I have to give. I know I have more to give. I want to serve. I can't just box myself in. It was a great job, and I'm not saying it to the company, but I was like, I can't give my gifts and talents here alone to the shareholders. I have to make a difference in my country. I have something to give at a national level. I have to make the Bahamas better. And now I have to upgrade. I need to get that Caribbean exposure and experience. I need to get in that classroom. I need to have those discussions. I need to read those documents and be aware of our region and what's happening and how we want to move forward. Other best practices in other countries. I was like, I have to go. So I left my job and I went and did my graduate studies. So I say that to say that I didn't sit back and wait for things to happen, and I'm not in a position where, based on my, you know, family background or who we may know and that kind of thing, someone can make a call for me. I'm in a position where I had to create the space, and that's how we started. Saying, how do you do that? You have to qualify yourself. You have to push. You have to read. You have to figure out how you could get in. What's, you know, the little gap that someone might create, a little window open, how you have to climb through the window and squeeze through, because necessarily you don't have a swipe. Some people may be born with a swipe key that opens the door. For me, I had to look to see if there's any defect, you know, in the building.
And the clock.
Anything where I could, like, try to literally squeeze through or try to squeeze through today. And if I don't get through, say, okay, now I need to go back. I need to find a little chisel. I need to come back the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day until I manage to get inside. And that's what I want for ordinary Bahamians, for them not to limit their potential and their capabilities, their capacity, what it is they could accomplish based on their current setting, based on their current state of being. Never limit yourself. Always dream higher, dream bigger, have a vision. And if you're not dreaming to the size where you're like, no way, you can't be serious. Kenanika, you could do that. Maxine, you got to be kidding me. You think you could do that? Not you, girl. Then your dream is not big enough.
I do relish in what you're saying. When I decided to go ahead and get this the master's in hospitality and marketing management, I said I don't know how I'm going to pay for it, because that was never like that wasn't a thing for me. And then I published my dissertation, and then FIU said, listen, we want to publish your paper. University of the West Indies Mona campus said, we've only had 4 people in our entire program that have done this. Mm-hmm. And of course, my dissertation was on why isn't John Canoe globally marketed? And so,
oh, interesting.
Well, you know, John Canoe is my thing. And then now I'm looking at the doctoral program. So it's an entire process of trying to push yourself. But when you talk about creating a space, as a woman, it's difficult. Even as a Black woman in your own country, it's difficult, because more often than not, it's not the men that hold you down. It's the women that are in your same arena that literally put their foot on your neck. And I think that if we could amalgamate to something different, we could be a better society. Because at the end of the day, you have 4 kids. I have 1. How do you know that our kids are not going to intertwine? They may go to a different school, but they may see each other. They may come into contact with each other, because we're a community. We're only 7 by 21. Yes, they may go off to university in Canada or Sudan or wherever they may branch off into. But we have to look at things and not so much in a vacuum. When you speak about politics, do you see any women or men that you have emulated and that you say, I want my legacy to be that of that stature? Are there any people that you see like that?
So absolutely. There are a number of persons that I see like that. But the primary influencer in my life when it comes to politics was my mentor, the late Honorable Teresa Moxie Ingram. And 30 years ago, when I decided I wanted to go into politics, it was because I entered an essay competition on, I think it was called My Bahamian Hero. That was the topic. But I decided I wanted to write My Bahamian Hero, : A Woman in Politics, or Women in Politics. And I reached out to her, and I told her, she allowed me to interview her. I told her my interests, and she never let me go after that. She carried me with her. She taught me about politics. She put me in the spaces. She was transparent and open with me. She pushed me. She helped to drive me. She really was an adopted mom and a mentor to me, and I could never thank her enough. In addition to that, persons like Dame Janet Bostwick and the Rome Italia Johnson, the former Speaker of the House of Assembly, those are all persons during that era and during that time that really helped me to know that I could aspire to be in politics and to be successful in politics, because in 1992 we had that wave of women. And that's the same way I'm saying to you now, that we need women in politics so that other little girls could look up and be like, wait a minute, maybe I can, maybe I can. And so those are just some of the many persons who've influenced me over time.
Now, Maxine, when you talk about politics, where do you see politics going in the next 10 years, next 5 years, party aside?
So I'm really hoping that as a community, that we start to cherish the right to vote a little bit more.
Why is that?
This is my desire for my country and its citizens, because there was a lot that went into us being able to vote, okay? From women's suffrage movement to even the fact that you could vote without having property, that kind of thing. And so the right to vote is something that we should not take for granted. And not only that, it's a currency that we can only spend every 5 years. And so whatever decision we make, we're stuck with it for 5 years before we get some, you know, currency in our pocket again. We get a chance to vote again. And what I see among our voting population concerns me, because I don't think that we realize that if I decide today that someone's going to, you know, hook me up with this or hook me up with that or fix me up or promise me something or whatever the case may be, or because we're not as forgiving as we need to be, or yes, they accomplished these, you know, 8 out of 10 things, but I don't like that they didn't do the 2 things. So I finish with them. So my thing is, I would like to see us mature a little bit more so that we really, and it goes back to what we started talking about, reading and seriously considering and thinking it through and making a real conscientious decision and not just being emotive when it comes to voting, because it's a serious responsibility.
I don't think that our electorate is as educated on the facts that we need to be. And I don't think that there's a platform, there's no opportunity for us to examine what it is that we are weighing the pros and cons against. When you talk about having a political arena, right? Every 5 years, the customs change. You give me a t-shirt and I have and there's a party and I vote for you and you promise me things, or it's not necessarily the best man for the job or woman. You know what I mean? It's how you know this person, like, are you even educated to the point to understand what it is that I'm talking about for you to say, listen, I want my street light turned on. I live at a dead end. I need the lights to be on. I'm coming in 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning because I work at the hotel. I don't want to just be a worker. I want you to incentivize me. I want to be able to make an important outlook to my community. So are we looking at that holistically, or are we just saying every 5 years we can change y'all because we don't vote people, we vote party. So what actually happens? And then when you talk about being a woman for the job, I find a lot of times, and even with this text, and I'll read you the text, it says, as a woman, it's difficult. If you were a man, you would not say that. You would either say it's difficult in general or it's difficult as a man. Privilege. This next text reads, often you hear other women say, oh, she's aggressive. But if she were a man, would you hear the exact same thing? Casey, I agree with you and Senator. It's always women with foots on the necks. But keep in mind, you have children to feed. It's always another woman holding you down. Okay, fine. Senator Maxine, I want to find out from you. As a female, do you think that there's a privilege that we hold as women that we're not exercising properly politically?
I don't know that I would agree with that. I feel as if women don't really hold, well, I shouldn't say that. There are a few privileges that women hold by right of gender, and I don't even know what the few are. I feel as if a lot of what we achieve, we have to always either fight for, struggle for, push for, knock down doors for, or be given in a tokenist type way.
Yeah, here, this is for you, so you could just be quiet.
Exactly. And so I think, and this is where it's important to dispel these myths or examples or this perception that women don't work together and that they hold each other down. Because until women decide that we're going to truly unite and truly, you know, really push to make a difference for other women, it's going to be even harder to really get to where we ought to be as women.
This is a text that has come in. Senator Maxine, I wish that you had been in Seabreeze a little bit longer. I think your ratification came too late and we didn't get a chance to see who you were. Please don't abandon us. There are some of us that still want you.
Why, thank you.
Okay. Do you think that you're going to let this, are you going to just leave politics? Are you going to stay in politics? Are you going to push through so that you can be the DP or PM, Maxine Seymour? Are you staying in it? Are you in the fight for the long haul?
I'm not going anywhere. I'm here to stay.
So with this literacy program, can we hope that there's some reform to education?
It's a lofty goal. What we have to do is just make a difference in the lives of children, one child at a time. And that's what I'm seeking to do. One child at a time, one story at a time, one discussion at a time, one new word we learn at a time, and all of the other interaction that we have. They're writing, you know, they're aspiring to be authors. And it's just an amazing time with the children. And so if we all do our part, if we all start to read, like I see so many spinoffs because people have written to me or reached out to me to say that they want to be a part. They want to read as well for the kids. What could they do? And so if I could find some capacity in my life, then I would really like us to expand the program a little bit so that, because the kids are always like, why can't we, isn't it tomorrow? Why isn't it next week? Why isn't it every week? And I'd like to give more of myself to them, but I also want to set realistic goals for myself. If I, you know, because I, this is a consistent, like I said, it's been since September. It started out with, I think it was called Seabreeze Storytime, and then it changed to Storytime at Senator Seymour. And so it's something I'm going to keep, even if, you know, any of the labels go, it's still going to be Storytime at something, because it's something I am committed to in terms of taking time out to read to the children. And they ask questions. We, like I say, talk about things. And so whether it's a book donation, if people have books to give, there are people who reach out to me. For example, I've been in touch with persons in Spanish Wells. I could understand what's going on there. In terms of reading, they start a community library there where they're hoping that people will like use it, access it. You know, a literacy coordinator from a local elementary school reached out to me as well about being involved. And this is a school where they say, you know, in their area, the students can hear gunshots going off during the school day, things like that. And so this is a school I want to get into and take time out to read stories to in a very, you know, articulate and animated way so that the children could listen. When you're in a book, I find with story time, these children are so amazing. You could read and you could ask them a million questions and they answer all the questions. They always know the answers. And then they tell me more things. They add to it because they're listening.
The retention is good.
And people still want, children still desire if you could stop and read to them. And it's not that long, you know. So if we could all put aside, if only for 30 minutes, even if it's once a week or 5 minutes a day, put aside the PS4s and the, you know, the tablets and the, you know, the cell phones and the televisions and all the other things our children find to do. And just read a book, you know, or just get out a dictionary. I bet, I don't want to say I bet you, but I actually think that if you give the average child a dictionary and ask them to find a word, I don't even know if they know that the dictionary is alphabetized. I don't know if they know like how that works to go and find a word. And then if it's in brackets, like an N or a V, or I don't know if they know if that's a noun,
a verb, right.
Adjective, adverb, because now they only have to say, like my kids, Siri. I'm like, seriously, even though they have Google, they don't even type in it. They say, Alexa, Siri, you know, define radio for me. So back then when we had to look it up in a dictionary, it's good that we've advanced technologically. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that we have to make sure that we're not creating children who are intellectually lazy, because they really don't have anything to do.
They don't. This is a text that has come in. The reason Bahamians are voting less is because they realize that it's just a big boys club looking out for and enriching themselves. It's an exercise in fertility. Maxine, keep up the fight. Blue waves to the Google. I guess it's somebody that went
blue
to.
Waves.
That's
go
somebody
blue
that
waves.
Went to St. Ives.
I guess so. Blue
that's
waves.
All right, so Maxine, I want to find out from you also. I mean, the time is so rapidly moving. You mentioned that you have four children. You have a husband. You have your senatorship. And then do you still have work as well? Do you go to a regular 9-to-5 job?
Absolutely not. I wish it was 9-to-5 if it's longer. So, yes, I do still have a full-time employment, thankfully. And like you said, I have the senatorship and the kids and the husband and, you know, responsibilities at church and in other civic arenas. And my husband and I do community outreach that we've done for years that we persist with, that we keep a big secret. And people told me during the campaign, they were like, oh my goodness, you need to tell people so people can know what you do in the community, et cetera. I'm like, I don't do things to put it online or, you know, so I don't publicize whatever I do in terms of social outreach. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, my life is full. And like someone told me once, they say, you know, you can't even say your plate is full because you have a platter. And it's true. It's very true. And so I have to find myself trying to create that balance, trying to be there for the family, like make sure that I keep that a priority, because we all know, like we've discussed here today, that, you know, the electorate, when they're done with you, they're done with you. And so you need to make sure that when they're done with you, that you have something to come home to. Mm-hmm. So I have to give priority to making sure that the home and the family is kept strong and, you know, united. And then I have to, of course, give priority to employment, because we're still not where we need to be in terms of compensating our politicians. And so, you know, I have to give priority to employment and then, you know, church, my commitment to God, civic. And of course, I have to give my absolute best. Because we're talking about a political party that has four Senate appointments, and I'm holding one of them. So I can't slack off on the job, Kendanique. I have to work hard. I have to push hard. And, of course, I'm committed. This is serious. This isn't, like, a game for me.
No.
So I need to be prepared to really, like, check out the legislation, make sure that it's right for the Bahamian people, if not to raise certain things, certain questions, to make sure that when I present in the Senate, in or outside, that I always have the people's best interests at heart. And that I'm putting it first, and I'm also thinking future generations. And so it is a lot, but it can be done.
You have to, I mean, you, and like my friends say through Olbod Ali, because, you know, I am from a particular area. My friends from Olbod Ali say, you know, you can't slack the ride. So Maxine, you have to keep your foot to the fire and do what needs to be done. And as a woman in the community, you have my full support. If there's anything that I can do from my end in terms of my platform, I'm willing and able to assist you. I want to say a very special thank you for coming out this morning. Rico, thank you for putting that plug in for me with your wife. Like, I really appreciate that, Rico. Thank you so much. So, Maxine, as we close out the show for this morning, I'll give you the last words, and you can speak to your platform and what you need to say to our listening audience.
Well, I would like it if persons would follow me on Facebook or Instagram, and that way you could get updates about the literacy program, but it's twice monthly on a Wednesday. So if you know any children at all, get them to log on to Zoom. The information is on the Facebook page, and so that they could be a part of it. Trust me, I should have said that I have adults who tune in regularly to listen, teachers and other people. And so it's just a quick time in your day to really go back to old fashioned reading. And what I'd like to say to our country is that it's important for us to keep God first. And so it's one thing, you know, as Bahamians, you know, we often desire things to be a better way. And, you know, we may complain, and we may even not be as good to each other as we should be, as mentioned earlier. However, we need to also remember to pause and give God thanks, because Kennedy, God has been gracious to our country. He's been good to our country. He's been faithful to us. We have come through rough times recently and even prior, other generations before us. But the one thing I know is that God continues to bring us through, and he continues to be there for us because we reverence him. And you know, on Easter Monday past, the Bahamas Christian Council organized a National Day of Prayer that was sanctioned by the government. And sitting there, I said, you know, it's so good to be able to serve in a country where we could still say Jesus, where we could still pray, where leaders still pray. And, you know, people still intercede and cover. And so sometimes it's not even the people we see out front who are keeping our country going. It's the people who are on their knees interceding for us. And so I just want to say to us as a country, as citizens, as residents, let's remember to keep God first and let's do all we can to make our country a better place. It's not anyone else's job. It's not the politician's job. It's the collective us who have to band together to make our country better. Because if we don't do our part, each and every one of us, then we're not going to succeed as a country. And so we have to each take individual responsibility to see a better country moving forward. And that's what I would like to encourage all of us to do.
Senator Maxine Seymour, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kendini Campbell-Moss on Guardian Morning Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk all day. Stay with me because I have the 12 to 2 hour and we're going to be speaking about male wellness. It's going to be a different type of show. We're going to get a little interesting. So we'll be back. Maxine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And even picking up my phone, it's hard enough to be, hard enough to stay, hard enough to be alone. I'm just trying to move along. Sometimes I do and then I don't. Tell me what I'm doing wrong. Tell myself that it ain't helping. Second guessing it don't help me. I'm so tired of feeling empty. Cry my eyes, it's time to fight. It seems like I'm always against me. Seems like this is never ending. I refuse to let it end me. Mentally, spiritually, physically, I need my peace. Oh, I need my peace. Oh, oh, oh. I wake up every morning and tell myself,
come on, hey, gorgeous.
Sometimes you gotta look in the mirror and say,
come on, hey, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Come on, hey, gorgeous.
Good morning.
Gorgeous,
good morning,
gorgeous.
All the times that I hated myself,
yeah.
All the times that I wanted to be someone else,
yeah.
All the times that I should have been gentle with me,
all the times that I should have been
careful with me. Why did I hate myself?
Why did I hate
so intensely?
Lord, help me.
I wake up every morning and tell myself,
come on, hey, gorgeous.
Sometimes I gotta look in the mirror and say,
come on, hey, gorgeous.
No one else can make me feel this way.
Come on, hey, gorgeous.
Come on, hey,
gorgeous.
Come on,
hey, gorgeous.
Oh, 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 oh. I ain't talking about getting no hair and makeup. Talking about soon as I wake up.
Ooh,
I say good morning.
Say good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Yeah.
So uninspired.